York football Giants this week. We got two capable guys. We're going to ready them. They both need to be ready to work.
Is Russell going to start on Monday?
He's scheduled to take first team reps when we begin tomorrow. We'll see where the week leads us.
50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Peters. That was kind of weird that Tomlin didn't just want to come out and say Russell Wilson's the starting quarterback. I do think that is the him toying with the media in a playful manner thing. Should I read more into that?
He's keeping the Giants on their heels. They don't know whether to expect Justin Fields, baby.
And what a difference that made in that game against the Jets. The Jets' game plan, you could tell, was just completely designed to stop Justin Fields, and that fast one put them back on their heels big time. I think a little bit of it is keeping Fields engaged. I don't think that Fields has any delusions of grandeur where he thinks if he has a great week of practice, he's going to get substantial playing time. But I think Mike is trying to have his cake and eat it too. He's trying to have the best of both worlds. He's trying to have Russell Wilson locked in at the starter, but at the same time have Fields. It's one thing for Fields to say that he prepares for like the starter every week, but if he knows that he's been completely cut out of this whole thing and it's going to take a Russ injury or Russ playing poo-poo.
You just said it right there, though. I do think that he's trying to keep Fields engaged, although I think Fields deserves the benefit of the doubt that he would stay engaged on his own, because we've never heard that he's anything but the consummate pro and teammate. But I think Mike, in the back of his mind, might think, Russ is 35. He had an injury that happened once, then got re-aggravated and kept him out for this amount of time. I have to make sure my backup quarterback, who got me to 4-2, is focused, because there is definitely a real chance I will need to call on him because of injury. Not because of performance. Injury. And I think in that sense, it is smart business by Mike.
Do you think that there should be a cameo appearance, or there should be a change of pace package for Fields in this game and beyond?
No.
You don't?
No, because you just put up 400 plus, you put up 37 points. If you take away the...
Well, not 400 plus, almost 400. 390, I think it was.
Really? Because the game stats right after it ended said 409, I think.
Oh, did they?
I thought they were up above 400.
Maybe you're right. So they went over the Matt Canada number. All right, I'll take your word for it, Malzi.
Well, anyway, yeah, 409. I was right. For all of us Penn Staters, that's a very important number, Pony.
That's Joe Paterno's win number before they
vacated all
the NCAA
of them.
Got involved.
Yes. Anyway, they were cooking, man. They put up, even if you take away the what I would call the barely a touchdown drive, because it was one play, 1 yard, 31 points by the offense on 408 yards of offense. You throw up, I think, a change of pace package if you think one of two things is the case. Your current quarterback is good but struggles in a very specific way where Fields would help you demonstrably, or you think Fields is so overwhelming in one particular setting that you have to get him on the field. Does any of that seem like it's the case, at least after one game? I would say no. He's not so unbelievable. He's great down by the goal line, but that's generally where Russ has been good too. 20 touchdowns, one pick in the red zone last year. And the problem is, if you're going to come up with a Justin Fields set of plays or package of plays, you had better be willing to let him throw the ball as part of that package of plays. Because if it turns into
It's not a wildcat formation. It's not a running back.
No. But you know what I mean. Most people now who've seen Russ for one game and had this breath of fresh air would say, well, if you're going to put Fields in there, you better let it be for designed runs. No. If he's going to actually go in there, you better have the full menu available to him. Whatever that 10-play package would be, it better be six runs, four passes, 5 and 5. But because I'm putting all these conditions on it, I just say no.
Don't do it. So I disagree with you, but it comes with a couple of qualifiers. The Giants are one of the worst run defenses in the league. I think over their in the month of October, teams are averaging, this seems like a made-up stat, because Saquon went for 10 yards a carry against them. They're averaging 6.5 yards per rushing attempt. They're hideous. So here's why I'm getting Justin Fields ready. If the Steelers do what they've done all season offensively and they're slow out of the gate, I'm not plugging Justin Fields in for extra plays, say, the first series of the second quarter. But if it lingers and it's a low-scoring game at halftime and my offense has not found any rhythm against a bad defense, I want to attack them where they're vulnerable, and I'm gonna draw up plays for a dual threat quarterback to go in there and take advantage of a team's weakness. I mean, I think there are games where you look at your team, the team you're playing, and you think, okay, they've got a bad slot corner, so I'm gonna play Calvin Austin more. They've got their linebackers are weak in coverage. I'm gonna want to get the ball to my tight ends more. They're bad against the rush, running the ball between the tackles, so give it to Najee. If a team is not good, look at Jalen Hurts last week. If a team's not good against the run game in a running quarterback, and I'm in a rut during the game, I'd be foolish not to use Fields.
Do you think Wilson would be pissed off by that?
I honestly don't care. I honestly don't, because I don't think he has any recourse. Like, if he gets angry over that, what is he going to do? Refuse to sign an extension with the Steelers in the offseason? I don't really think that.
It just, honestly, man, the fact that you're bringing this up, my main point of disagreement is just like, it gets too close to, if you have two quarterbacks you're willing to use, do you really have any? I know that Russ would then be the presumably still entrenched guy, but I don't know. It feels gimmicky to me.
But no doubt. But my rebuttal is, for an offense that is still, I think, short on playmakers, Pickens is coming off his best game and Najee looked great. So, and they scored a bunch of points. So it's easy for us in the like wanderlust of that game to lose sight of the fact that still offensively they are not very deep or very talented. I think we all agree that Justin Fields is still one of their best athletes and one of their best playmakers as a runner. If you're struggling in a game, I see no reason why not to involve him in some ways to try to give your team like a boost or a kickstart.
The problem
shot in the
is,
arm.
I feel like if you don't have a struggling offense, there's no reason to get him on the field, obviously. But like, he is so good physically, the only other way would almost be in like a trick play situation, which I don't want. I don't want something that's like, oh, put him out there two quarterbacks at once or something goofy, and Russell Wilson splits out
wide. Well, like that trick
wide.
Play they did against the Cowboys that was, or
burn it
against yeah, that was one of the worst plays I've ever seen in my entire. Or against the Raiders.
Here's the thing. Everyone said this when, like, even before Russ came back, when it was obvious the week running up to it that it was going to be Russ's job last week. I said, oh, Fields could play the slash Stewart role.
Well, I don't want him catching footballs.
No. But the problem with that is, because, like, that's the most logical application of, if he's so good physically and he's so talented, you'd want to get him out there some way. Let Russ throw him the ball. He's never done it. Cordell Stewart, the day they drafted him, like, they primed him for that role right off the bat. You can't. So it's not as simple as, just split him out wide, teach him how to run routes. You basically have to incorporate him into the running game, or you have to be willing to let him throw a bomb or something.
Donnie, did Russell Wilson play so well that you look at Justin Fields as a strict backup now and you don't want to incorporate him into anything?
I definitely look at it differently than I did 7 days ago, let's say, before we saw how well the offense was under his control. I mean, I would still, though, have it like in the back pocket, thinking like, hey, as a change of pace, maybe if we do need something, a little bit of a spark, like maybe something's just not working, or we do really feel like how a play with him would go in a certain down and distance situation. Like, I would keep that thought in my mind, but certainly not pushing for it like we were a week ago. I think that was just because, like, prisoner of the moment, we were thinking, well, we know what Fields can do, at least this season. We have no idea what Russ will look like. Now it's pretty flipped because of how good Russ actually looked.
But the one thing, sorry, Chris, the one thing I'll say, though, is if we think that Tomlin is still, like, aware of Justin Fields' feelings and wants to placate him and keep him happy, might he do that just to...
Maybe. You know what I wouldn't? What I was going to say,
though?
Keep
a smile on his face.
Well, I think what would put a bigger smile on his face is this. I would rather... If you think you're really going to get an edge from doing this, like you really think that making a package of plays that you are intending to run in the game is going to be a net benefit, I'd wait to unleash it for like the Ravens for the better part of your schedule, where you might need an edge against Baltimore. Right this second, how much of an underdog would they be in that first Ravens game? It's here, but I think they'd still be
a smaller one.
Like a 3-4 point underdog, somewhere in that range.
Yep.
wait for a game like that where on paper maybe people don't think you're going to be in it. Do it in a higher profile. I know this is a national TV game. That first Ravens game is 1 o'clock. Do it in a higher profile setting against a better opponent where you might actually need it. What I would rather see them do against the Giants, quite honestly, that team sucks. You just said it. They can't defend the run. There's nobody worse in the league at it. Go out there and whoop their ass. This should be, by rights, a third straight route for them.
The first possession of the third quarter, Donnie remembers this. He was in his seats the entire time. He didn't leave to get a hot dog because he wanted to watch the
74. You didn't even leave to go to the bathroom?
No, he didn't.
Oh, bladder of steel. Very good. That won't keep up in your 30s.
When the Steelers settled for a field goal to go up 16-13 and didn't score a touchdown when they had a first and goal at the Jets 3, the plays were Jaylen Warren run, incomplete pass to Pickens, incomplete pass to Jefferson, field goal. I think one of those plays should be a Fields play.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind like those situations. I think because we know that when it comes to ad-libbing plays too, especially in that area of the field, toss him in there.
Okay. Chris, I'd rather have Fields run the ball there than Warren.
Okay, so here's what I would say, Donnie. Just going along with what you guys are saying, not that I would necessarily do this. If you got to that point though, if you're going to take Wilson out, it should be on the first down play, first and goal.
I'd say first or second down.
I would almost limit it to first, and it should be very specific. Fields is in the gun. It is a run-pass option type of play. That is, I think that is the application of him that you would want. He's got the option to hand it to Najee. He's got the option to keep it and run with it, or he's got the option to keep it and then pull and pass.
Spencer is on the fan. Hello, Spence.
Hey. You guys, love the show.
Thanks, man.
Also, shout out Nick Fairbaugh, best beat writer in the game.
And best
I'm
man bun.
About,
very good man bun.
In Pittsburgh.
I went to high school with him. He's a beast. I love him. I'm pumped up about Russell Wilson. I think what he brings to the Steelers, the deep game, the passing game, is something we haven't seen since Big Ben and Chase Claypool. And I'm not saying that Chase Claypool was all that, but this is something new for us in Pittsburgh that we haven't witnessed for a while. And I think it's something that we needed to see. And I'm pumped up this year. I think we're going to win the Super Bowl until we don't. And I'm excited about it. And I think we need to go out and get another playmaker, another wide receiver to really see what
this
offense has.
Would you trade a second for Cup?
I would. I'd do it. And then next year I do a first round pick on another lineman because it seems like they always get injured. And because I just want to see the full potential of our offense. And I think having Cup, even if Russell Wilson gets benched, Fields has no excuses. Because I think a lot of us were saying, oh, Fields doesn't have any playmakers on offense, and we were kind of dumbing down the wide receiver room. And now if Wilson gets benched, Fields is out there, and he's got two guys right there
Spence,
that he can pass the ball
Spencer,
to.
Spencer, the injury risk with Cup would bother me, combined with the age. That would just bug me for a second-round pick. Guys generally don't become healthier players in their 30s.
I get that. I mean, I just think it's something where I feel like our offense has been stagnant for the past couple of years, and I think it's something that we need to create some fan the flame a little bit and get some playmakers out there.
If you wanted to jolt the offense, though, wouldn't you take next year's first if you really wanted to go all in? And let's just say you were planning on moving Broderick Jones to the left side where he was supposed to play. Wouldn't you draft a receiver and have somebody who you could count on for 4, 5, 6 years?
Do you know how much
years?
Better they'd be if they had drafted Brian Thomas instead of Fautanu?
Considerably.
If they liked Dan Moore as much as they're alleging, they could have signed him to an extension.
They don't like Dan Moore as much as they're alleging, to be fair.
Fair enough. But, I mean, that guy's, what, fourth in the league in receiving yards?
Yeah, he's really good.
And he was on the board when the Steelers picked Fautanu.
He's a physical. He's also like a physical problem. He and Pickens would be two of the most dynamic.
This is
going to
shock people when I say this, but I don't think Arthur Smith wants to take Darnell Washington off the field, and he'd have to do that if he picked Cup because they'd play three receivers instead of two tight ends.
He underthrew George Pickens twice. One where George Pickens is being held, has to stop for the pass, and he one-hands it for a long 51-yarder or whatever it was. And then the other one where George Pickens has two steps on the corner, it hits the cornerback, the underthrow, and Pickens still manages to catch it. This isn't Russ's back. Russ is back. Look at this. Look at Russ doing all the work. Russ is back. It's all George Pickens on these plays.
Pickens was insane.
Even the touchdown to Pickens, like slight underthrow, you could have just let him out, and George Pickens comes back and snatches it and looks Great. So let's just add some context to this whole thing.
Steve Palazzolo, who joins us on Thursdays, we'll definitely get into that with him. He's one of these guys who's poo-pooing Russell Wilson, more about the great wide receiver play than it was about Russ Sunday night. My eyes told me something different. Mike's Beer Bar. Get there tonight to watch all the hockey games and check out the Fan Beer of the Month, Penn Brewing's Pumpkin Shandy, benefiting Young Adult Survivors United. Back to the phones. We have Steve in Natrona Heights. Hello, Steve.
Yeah, I got three quick things. I think a number two pick for one of the best receivers to give 100% all the time is a great idea.
But he's not out there all the time. That's the issue.
Pardon me?
He doesn't play all the time.
Second thing, Fields was 1-2 and just beat one of the worst teams in the NFL right now, the Raiders. I don't see anything wrong with going with Russell Wilson.
He was 3-2.
And the third thing, real quick, a couple years ago at the NCAA tournament, I got a picture of Kenny Pickett with his girlfriend, and I sent it to my Air Force buddies. And my Denver buddy, first thing he said was, look at that. Little boobies for little hands.
Okay. Thank you. I had a funny feeling Steve in Natrona Heights was not going to end well.
What gave you that idea? I can't imagine.
Those were two of the funniest no-sells to me I think we've experienced in a while. Because sometimes people try to be funny, but you just point out like very clearly, like, no, he was 3-2. Okay, well, secondly, and he just got into it.
Yeah, he plowed right through like all of his inaccuracies to get to the big punchline.
He's not always out there. Well, okay.
Sure. Whatever you say.
Here is Andrew Filippone, antagonist Fake John and Robinson. Hello, Fake John.
Hey, guys. How's it going? And happy birthday, Donnie.
Thank you.
Look at that.
John, did you like that last joke?
Yes, don't repeat it. We don't have to. And you are a guy who has made a Kenny Pickett joke or two in your time.
He probably saw that on my Twitter feed and stole it, is probably what happened. So a few things. I think I didn't plan on talking about this, but I think the Fields package, I think you save that for as long as you can. If you can get through the bye without showing that, that just helps you out coming out, whether it's against Washington or beyond. On the Cooper Kupp thing, I think that's a non-topic. I know it's fun for Sports Talk Radio. They're not going to give up a two for that. And Pony, you were more correct on the cap hit. That's fairly prohibitive, unless they're going to take a lot this year and next year, which they're not because they have to do something with Stafford too. But the main thing I wanted to talk about was Wilson himself.
What do you make of the Steve Palazzolos of the world saying it was luck, it was great wide receiver play, not much to do with the quarterback?
So I disagree with that because when you have an asset like George Pickens, that's the 50-50 ball becomes a 70-30 ball. And worst case scenario, even the ball, I'm sorry, I'm on the golf course, we hear that going by. But
congratulations on all your success.
The 70-30 ball, worst case scenario, it's incomplete or pass interference. The ball that bounced off the guy's helmet, he's not playing the ball. So if he makes contact, that's going to be PI. But,
good point.
My big issue is, what are our expectations now? Because I know we keep saying, let's just win a playoff game.
Well, answer the question. What are yours?
Well, Chris said they're not even as good as the Bengals.
I said they're the fifth best team, maybe the sixth best team in the AFC. What are your expectations right this second?
So, Malzi and I were talking earlier today, and my issue is, if the season ended right now, they'd be at the Bills. And that's probably, same old song and dance.
Agreed.
They're one and done.
Yep.
Baltimore's not going anywhere, even after starting 0-2. So that's, a long way uphill to get a home playoff game or to even win the division here. So if the expectations are just win a playoff game, then sure, I'm ecstatic. This is fantastic. If we actually think we're a contender, like I said, enough about the Cooper Kupp thing. They do need an upgrade, maybe. I think Van Jefferson showed that he can be viable. But somebody like Darius Slayton, I think, is all you really need. You don't need to go spend a second-round pick just because you
now,
missed
who
Roman
is
Wilson
evangelized
and passed on
Jalen McMillan. Is this a campaign by you to get the Slayton information out there through Malzi, or is Malzi beating you over the head with it?
I think it's just common sense. Yeah. I think it's common sense.
That's not really answering the question, though.
I think if you can give up a fifth or a sixth,
yes,
for
I know, but
that
that's not
serve.
Answering the question. Are you constantly texting?
Great minds think alike.
Are you constantly texting Chris to get the Darius Slayton thing out there, or did Chris bring it up to you and you said, "Eureka, that's a great idea"?
Well, I'm going to kindly plead the fifth.
Oh, think you'd fake, John.
Yeah, my lawyer does not want to self-incriminate here. I think if you really want to know, I think he mentioned him to me once as like one of many receivers, and then it crystallized that he seemed like the best fit.
I honestly just don't think, as far as I would pick the Chiefs against the Steelers, because I just refuse to believe that the Chiefs are ever going to lose in the playoffs. But right this second, I don't feel like the two teams are that far apart from each other. And one is 6-0 and one is 5-2.
The problem there is you just assume that in a game, if it's in a game that is one and done, do or die, 15 is going to figure out a way to get it done.
But I'm not watching the Chiefs this year saying, holy crap, they're playing a different sport than the Steelers. And there have been many years and many games over the last couple of seasons where I felt that way. Here is GP. Is it George Pickens on the Fan? Hello, GP.
Hello. It's not George Pickens.
Well, if it was George Pickens, you'd be calling in as Michael Brewerly.
Yes, sir. That's true. But hey, a couple things.
Yeah.
I would definitely try to get Cooper Kupp. I would package. Here's what I would package. Now, don't say I'm drunk, because that's what you did last week.
Okay.
Malzie. Okay. Do a number three and Najee. Package kit.
Are you drunk?
No, I'm painting my hand rail outside the porch.
GP, they've got Kyren Williams, who's one of the best running backs in the NFL. They're not taking an expensive guy in the last year of his contract when they've only got two wins for their best wide receiver.
Well, this way we can unload him because we're not going to re-sign him.
Yes, right? I get it from the Steelers. I don't even get it from the Steelers' perspective, because even though they don't want him long-term, the Steelers with a 5-2 record are not going to trade a guy that's coming off back-to-back 100-yard games. But the Rams wouldn't want Najee Harris. That's the last guy they want.
He said he was painting his handrail.
Yes.
Is he
breathing? I was going to say the same thing. Is he painting the barn red?
Speaking of which, I checked in on our guy, Michael Brewerly.
Yeah. Is he still going after me?
Stay sleeping on 14. Don't be in my DMs after he wins your fantasy matchup on Sunday. Receipts. And then let's go. What they finna say now about one issue. It's definitely him, because every response is just... talk your trash, GP.
Any more crap? Any more crap on Faribault?
I got to go to the replies here.
We'll see if you can find anything. Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township.
It's been a component of what it is that we do and the way that we engineer victory. Can't say enough about our block units. It's not just an agenda for us. We try to live it. We develop skills in that area. If you just look at the type of guys that have blocked kicks for us in recent experience, you know, Minka's a safety. Connor's a tight end. Dean is a defensive lineman. Miles Killebrew is a safety. They play various home positions, but they're all teamers, and that's the way we work.
Mike Tomlin on why the Steelers have gotten such a big lift from their special teams. They don't just have special teams guys on their rosters who are backups. They force some of their starters and bigger-name players like Minka to become a part of it, and they do, and they excel. Blocking kicks, including that one that dubiously got called back, and Mike Tomlin said today that the NFL told him it was the wrong call, that blocked extra point should have stood. Imagine if they had lost the game by 2 points, like the halftime deficit. We would be still screaming today about that. Tomlin's takes, before we get back to your calls, we have him addressing the way Broderick Jones has played so far at offensive tackle.
I like the solid trajectory of his growth and development. He had some challenges early on in team development. He missed some time and so forth due to minor injuries. But just largely looking at the trajectory of his play, I'm pleased with it. I like the professional approach that he brings to work. And I just think he's moving in the right direction, and it needs to continue.
I was surprised to hear that. I was heartened only in the sense that you know when Tomlin's like out on somebody or somebody's like way in the doghouse. I'll tell you one thing he'll never do for guys he's pissed off at is say that they're doing their thing professionally when they come into the building. So I imagine Jones isn't acting like a complete goofball, but how could you possibly? I'm the biggest... Chris Mueller is to Broderick Jones as Andrew Filippone was to Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
That I am watching Broderick Jones, especially as a pass blocker, and thinking, ah, yes, that looks like it's supposed to. I'm hoping Tomlin's grading him on a curve because he knows deep down he's playing him out of position.
Yeah, that was one of my thoughts on that answer. I also thought that a first-round pick in year two, you should not be pleased with a solid trajectory.
But that could also relate back to point one there.
Yep. Yeah.
But that just heartens me, because I know that means to me they're going to give him a chance to do what Omar said they drafted him to do next year, which is play left tackle. You know what it's going to come in? It's going to end up being. He's going to get his first year at left tackle. It's probably going to be some, you know, some speed bumps along the way. Then year four for him. So then they're going to have to make a determination about the fifth-year option.
They're not, and then he's going to go off in year four?
Before they're going to have had like a full picture of what he actually looks like at left tackle, they're probably going to not pick it up. And then, yeah, they're going to have to pay through the nose if he has a ridiculous fourth season.
Mark is in Beaver. Hello, Mark.
Hi, guys. Hey, I don't think Cooper Kupp's a good idea. Too much for him. What about Mike Williams? Mike Williams is having a problem there in New York.
Yep.
Vontae Adams got signed.
I agree. Mark, I rarely do something on the show, but I'm going to do it twice in as many days. I'm going to change my mind on something. I've changed my mind that Justin Fields was the better starting quarterback. It's now Russell Wilson. And I'm going to change my mind again. I said that I would rather have Cooper Kupp than Mike Williams. I would rather have Mike Williams for a seventh round pick than Cooper Kupp for a second round pick. And the more I ponder it and ruminate on it, I don't actually think it's close. I'd much rather have Mike Williams for a song than pay a premium price for Cooper Kupp.
Doesn't he fit more what they would be doing with him in the offense?
I think he does,
big outside receiver.
I mean, that to me is more of a problem with their offense than anything else, but I have to work within
those
parameters.
Two guys you can throw a moon ball to? You also said you're, by the way, not going to rip on Mike. I'm going to lay off Mike Tomlin for a while was your tweet.
Yeah, and I
have. And you've
true to my word.
Well, I was going to do what I often do, which is just snarkily quote tweet you to try to get some engagement, you know, ride your coattails. And I was going to say, what'll this last? About 15 hours until he says something you don't like. But Tomlin hasn't even come up on the show today, really.
Here is Johnny the Barber, who's already purchasing tickets for a movie that's due out soon. Hello, Johnny.
Hello, gentlemen. I just wanted to wish Donnie Football happy birthday from the barbershop and from the Ohio State.
You know, he grew up an Ohio State fan because of Terrell Pryor, but turned his back on them and is now a bigger Pitt fan.
I don't believe that. Don't believe he wants to see a team that can go to the playoffs.
You want
to
bet? Just ask Art Schleister.
Would you want to bet?
No, I just wanted to make an Art Schleister joke.
That's what I said. You don't want to bet on Pitt going to the playoffs. You know that.
I was making an Art Schleister joke.
Is Donnie your favorite producer, or do you have more of a soft spot for the Midday Show producer, Johnny?
I'm telling you, I want to congratulate, would like to take his time to congratulate Austin Beckold on getting the role in the remake of The 40-Year-Old Virgin, the early years. And fun fact, they actually cast a real virgin in it.
How do you know that? You've talked to him about his sex life?
No, or lack thereof, should I say. Not, I wouldn't say it's a sex life. But
how would you know that? You've had private conversations with him about his lack of luck with ladies?
Did he document drop?
Jeez.
Wow. Okay. Anything else, Johnny?
Ohio.
He said the 40-year-old virgin the early years. Donnie is
called the 20-year-old virgin?
Donnie is losing his mind in there. Why do you think it's so funny? Huh? Why are you getting such a big kick out of that?
I thought the extra line he tossed in there, like the little subheading to the movie, too, was pretty funny.
Watch Austin.
Four limits. He's going to take that one hard.
Watch
if he hears
Austin
it.
Pull some like unbelievably attractive and also just super cool woman and put everybody in their place.
Honestly, I'm rooting for the kid.
So am I.
I don't know if you guys are.
No,
I feel like I'm the only honest broker with him.
No, I got a big soft spot for him. Here's Vic in the waterfront. Hello, Vic.
Yo, what's up, guys?
Vic, why haven't you called us in a while? Where the hell have you been, Vic?
I have called you, man, a couple times. I was on hold forever.
Oh.
Then my girl had the nerve to look at me and say, hey, I know you ain't on the phone with that Filippone guy.
Oh.
I was like, come on, just stop. His name is Andrew Filippone. You call her out of her name, she get mad.
Vic,
anyway.
Vic, I said if Cooper Kupp gets traded to the Steelers, I'll get a face tattoo. What are your thoughts on that?
I think you... Let that one go, because the Steelers will never trade for Cooper Kupp. They need to just stay what they're doing. Just stay what they're doing. That's all. And, you know, and if they do, I'll have my uncle in town in a couple of weeks, and I'll let you drive his Lambo. I know you don't know what a Lambo is, but anyway.
It's short for Lamborghini.
Quick, guys. Yep, now you know.
Okay.
I remember last time they had to school you on it. But listen, bro, on a real tip, all the Steelers need to do is keep doing what they're doing. Keep my man Russell as the quarterback and do what they're bold to do. That's all it takes. Do what they're bold to do, and they're going to be all right.
Are they better than the Ravens?
No.
Are they better than the Bengals?
On any given Sunday. Just do what they bow to do. Do what they bow to do, and they're all right.
Okay, thank you, Vic. Appreciate you.
His girlfriend gets mad that he's on the phone with our show, a show that I am actually not part of because he just... That was like the caller version of the...
It's the Pony Express?
Mm-hmm. Our guy Pete Bender.
Was that also just a way of flexing and, again, rubbing it in Austin's face that he has a girlfriend?
That would be some on-the-fly thinking from Vic. I don't think Vic has thought about Austin Bechtold probably ever.
He's pretty good, though. He's pretty good at that stuff, Vic. He's a pretty creative caller.
Oh, like on the fly if he hears somebody else say something?
Yeah, he's pretty good on his feet. You can go back and forth with him. I like him a lot.
I met his wonderful girlfriend yesterday. Have you met her?
I have met Sarah, yeah.
What a lovely couple and what a nice person. I want them to get married.
She saw me first and said hello.
Yeah, she's a really nice person. I'm happy for Donnie.
They live right down the street from me.
They do?
Yeah.
Do you guys ever hang out?
Almost neighbors.
Can you walk to each other's houses?
It would be about a 20-minute walk. Maybe
you guys
25.
Should double date. Oh, wait. You need a girlfriend.
Oh, wait. That's correct. Thank you for the reminder.
Jeez, man.
That's how I played that. No matter what Johnny the Barber says or what you say, it's not as bad as that.
Starkey just destroyed him. Just dropped an anvil. He just dropped an anvil on him like it was Looney Tunes.
Well, that's Joe's nuclear option, as he likes to say. He's always got one in the
Donnie, are you aware of that? That Starkey, every person he's ever encountered professionally, he claims to have a, quote, nuclear option for that if they got into an argument, especially like co-hosts, he feels like he could say this about that person and it would end the argument and end their relationship, basically. He apparently has one for me.
I wonder what mine is.
So I thought I was getting attacked on my genitals by a spider right before the show.